Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today on Gold Radio Cafe. It's Friday, July 6, 2012, and welcome to the Gold and Silver Financial Review. My name is Bosco Kacharovich, and this program is brought to you by Central Metals. We understand the problem, and we have the answer, gold and silver-related investments. We're located here in Windsor, Ontario, Canada. Our website is centralmetalscorp.com. Our phone number is 519-915-7542. We will be accepting email questions during the program, and you can direct those to mail@centralmetalscorp.com. That's mail@centralmetalscorp.com. Just to give you some quotes on the prices here, we have spot gold at $1,587. Spot silver is at $2,711. We have platinum at $1,554.23, and palladium at $581.92. This week we've seen gold break through that $1,600 level, which is quite significant. Right now it's trading a little bit below, but that's a normal reaction, a little bit of a dip, probably some profit taking and so on. But generally the trend is still up, and some of the things that are affecting the markets today, our guest is going to be discussing with us. Welcome to the program, Mr. Jeff Dunphy.
Hello, Bosco. Good afternoon, everybody. Boy, we've got some news this week, don't we, Bosco? We've got the Barclays LIBOR scandal, which is not just Barclays, as I suspect everybody knows. Mm-hmm. We've got new quantitative easing, and we've got the jobs and unemployment information come out. It's a bit silly that gold is down $15 or $17 at the moment, merely because we're now starting to see the expose of the manipulation of the marketplace. This Barclays scandal is shocking, to say the least, and they've thrown Diamond under the bus, although in all fairness, his response to this LIBOR manipulation is he was not alone, and there was a whole bunch of people in it. So let's chat a moment a little about LIBOR. LIBOR means the London Interbank Overnight Rate, and it touches hundreds of trillions of dollars of money that's being thrown around. And the implication of this, Bosco, is the various banks, certainly the Bank of England, would call his people up and say, do not raise the rate. So there would be collusion going on, and there would be the acceptable rate going on overnight is too high, let's bring it down a bit. And this would be to manage the fear, which is what we've chatted about throughout the months, and that is if everybody does catch wind to the fact that the emperor has no clothes, there's going to be a run on gold, and paper currency, fiat currency, isn't going to be worth anything. That being the case, if we show the economic indicators as being everything's calm, everything's fine, everything's copacetic, then there won't be that run. It's called managing expectations. Mm-hmm. So the LIBOR rate, it comes to light, has been manipulated and colluded into being kept low in order to tell everybody, lie to everybody, that everything is okay in the system. A bit shocking, wouldn't you say, Bosco?
Yeah, I mean, from what you say, this LIBOR rate is kind of the pendulum that the rest of the market or the interest rate market swings on. Whatever they move it or control it, they can affect the entire interest rate scenario. Is that right?
Question. And the last time that LIBOR spiked was in 2008 after the mortgage crisis just got such a headwind that they couldn't divert the spiking of the of this rate, okay, and what they've done is they've thrown Diamond, as I said, they've thrown him under the bus. However, in the course of this, they've slapped him rigorously on the wrist with the Nerf bat and handed him from one report, they've handed him £12 million. Please let us throw you under the bus, and we'll send you on your way with £12 million sterling. Thank you very much.
That's a nice nice package.
Yeah, needless to say.
I was just reading... Go ahead.
This is Bosco because it implicates hundreds of trillions of dollars, and it also implicates a collusion amongst all the banks. All the banks know that they have to manage the potential fear element when they get when things get disclosed, and this is not a good thing. Right? You were saying before I interrupted you.
Yeah, it's funny that it's become obvious to me in the past couple of years that it seems that a lot of these sources of the manipulation stem from London. We have the gold and silver price, and the trading of actually gold and silver was initiated in London a long time ago, and also with this LIBOR rate. It seems that this is where the control comes from, and then it spreads around the world from there, like the banking system. And I think, I'm not sure if many of our listeners know, but our banking system in the U.S. and Canada was pretty much designed by London bankers over 100 years ago. Even the Federal Reserve, I believe that the Federal Reserve system was created based on London banking. Isn't that correct?
You make a really good point, Bosco, and there's two aspects to this. The first is they brought the European banking system over here, where the Europeans had already created it, and they brought it to the States, where their effective banking system wasn't working as well as they would have liked it to, but they also, the Americans at the time, this was in the late 1800s, early 1900s, the Americans at the time didn't want the banking system from Europe. So there was a lot of pushback. So the way that the Federal Reserve came into being was quite an interesting story. And this is brought to light by the wonderful book called The Creature from Jekyll Island. But they did, they went through all kinds of secrecy in order to get the Federal Reserve Banking Act passed. And you're right, they effectively brought the European banking system over from London. And it's been running now for 100 years, give or take. And it's very difficult to overestimate the impact of this expose, in that it has far-reaching implications. And it's something that you and I have been chatting about for years, and also we've been discussing on the program for a long time. It also leads us into the next topic, and that is quantitative easing. I mean, I suspect with the job market, with the job information coming out and with new quantitative easing passing along, it seems as if the bankers are going, which finger do we put in which part of the dike now? And they're running out of fingers, so they're throwing more and more money at it, printing of money. They're also doing everything they can to manage the crises that they have. There will be a point in time when they can't manage it any longer, and there will be runs on banks. So they may very well now say, well, you know, we've got four banks that are too big or six banks that are too big. Which banks can we throw under the bus? So there may be scenarios that they're discussing on how to divert people's attention on how they are dealing with this. What do you think, Bosco?
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. And this is what we try and help people understand, that the situation has become so complicated with all the paper derivatives and everything. The politicians have no choice but, like as you say, to manage the system. And in that management process, they have to manipulate the markets to create the illusion that the system is sound, because they don't want the run on the banks. And but the result, the spin on that is that people are still, sacrificing their standard of living. Their retirements, their pensions, and so on are being affected in this management process. So when they're managing the markets, they're, you know, looking at what their options are, and, you know, obviously if they're the bankers, they're in control, they don't want to sacrifice anything, right? So they're going to have to look at other ways to get the money. So they'll have to dip into pension funds and retirement plans and so on at the detriment of the population. There are people who have been working for so many years are going to be affected. And unfortunately, I think this is the only thing they could do is the quantitative easing and expanding money and credit. I don't see anything else that they're attempting that is outside of that realm. I mean, we can see that they don't want to take the medicine, and like as the evidence clearly shows in Greece, their recent election, what we discussed, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, you know, the austerity measures, they decided to go with the politician that chooses to take the funds, I guess, from the International Monetary Fund to try and keep the system going. Basically, they're saying that we don't want to tighten our belts. We don't want to, take the pain now for a better future. They'd rather keep the illusion going, and hopefully it'll work itself out. But I think history shows that never works. I mean, Germany tried it in the 1920s, and they experienced hyperinflation. And then what happened after that? Well, we have World War II. And the dictatorship. So are we headed in that direction? I don't know. Jeff, what do you think?
Well, the military strategists who speak about the Middle East are not saying everything's getting better. That's for flipping sure.
Mm-hmm.
We have effectively all of the banks and all of the governments connected so brilliantly, if you will, whether it's brilliance or not, I guess that's debatable. But we have them connected so inexplicably that when one of them goes down, it affects all of them. It's like they are all holding on to a net, and what's happening is people are throwing boulders into the net, and there will be a point in time where this will drag governments down. Oh, yes, Greece is gone. Oh, Italy soon. Oh, Ireland. Oh, the UK. So there is this place where they're going, the only way we have to fix this is to throw more money at it. Mm-hmm. And, as you said, the Weimar Republic, back in the early 1900s, was unbelievable in terms of them throwing money at this.
Mm-hmm.
How best do you fix a system with the only manner you can fix it, and that's throwing more money at it? It is a bit silly, and it's something that we've been beating for a while like a dead horse. But, you know, as somebody was saying to me a little while ago, when you do find that your horse is dead, it's best to get off. They haven't figured that out yet, and consequently they're bringing, you know, we're walking to the edge of a cliff, and it's not going to be pretty.
Yeah, I think it's obvious that they're stuck in a corner, and I don't even think that they really know or have their plan worked out. They're kind of, I think they're scrambling now, and one option that they have is just to print more money. And, you know, whoever is managing it, you know, you want to call it diabolical, I guess. Maybe it's diabolical, but they're stuck. And, you know, we have China hanging over the shoulder with all this, their debt, you know, and the Chinese own so much debt of the U.S. Basically, they have a pretty powerful position, you know, because they can easily just sell their treasuries and the U.S. dollar would crash. But they don't want to do that because, you know, it would affect their markets as well. And the U.S. is their best customer. So, as a matter of fact, I was in Disney World recently, and just to, you know, it's strange that, you know, this is an American heritage park, I guess you could say, and practically all of the souvenirs and items there that you purchase at Disney are made in China. It's just it's a strange thing, but that's just the way it is. And you know, people need to realize it, that the entire system is changing, and you need to take action to protect yourself and your family from what's happening, whether it be just from starters, you know, preserving food and energy and kind of tightening your belt, paying off all your debt and playing it conservative for the next few years until this all blows over, or people that have disposable income to get invested in gold and silver and so on. And then the next step would be to the mining stocks. But, you know, it is a fundamental change, I think, that's going on. And I think the next 10, 20 years are going to be much different than they are now. It's unless something happens, I don't know what could possibly fix the situation, but we see gold and silver in the past 10, 12 years have outperformed virtually every other asset on the markets, and it looks like that's going to continue for a few more years until they either they re-enter gold or re-include it into the system somehow and adjust the price. But with the quantitative easing continuing, it doesn't look good as far as standard of living is concerned. I just wanted to... do a quick commercial break to our listeners. One of the sources of information that we subscribe to is called the International Forecaster, and their website is theinternationalforecaster.com. And for anyone who wants information on that publication, can send me an email here at mail@centralmetalscorp.com, or you could send an email directly to them at info@theinternationalforecaster.com. It's a very good source of information. There's a lot of great articles and comments in that publication, so anyone who wants a copy, I'm sure if you email them that they'll send you a free copy. I'm sorry, Jeff, go ahead.
No worries, Bosco, and my apologies for interrupting there. You've made a couple of interesting observations that I want to address. I mean, the first being that China has a trading partner in the U.S. that is so of such consequence that they are caught between a rock and a hard place, or between the Scylla and the Charybdis, as Sting has been wont to sing. That being said, they are also, one of the things that's also happening in China is that their economy is starting to slow down. Now, here is another thing that listeners may be inspired to investigate, and that's what has either been coined by someone else or coined by some of us as MOPE, Management of Perceptions. And what happens is the government, all these guys get together and they say, well, how are we going to present the unemployment numbers? And the checklist of yesterday or yesteryear, the checklist would be 10 items long. And so they get together and they go, okay, well, what does it look like if we include all these 10 items? And they go, oh, my goodness gracious me, that is not a number we want anybody to know because it'll make everybody upset. So now what they do is they start to get into the management of perceptions. And they say, well, let's move the checklist from 10 to 8, well, I mean, I'm near 10 to 7. How about 6 items on the checklist? Ah, there we go. We can use that number to appease everybody. This is right. Part of them managing fear. Well, what is in the throes of coming out is that with the Internet, with shows like this, the internet are saying, well, if you really counted the way that the government used to count unemployment, it is double what they're suggesting. They're talking in the 8% range. I would venture that unemployment in the states is broaching or around the 20% mark. And they know that if people knew that, there would be a fury. They're in the throes of, you know, negotiating who they're going to put into the White House right now. Well, the Chinese are looking at the American economy and going, oh my, you don't think those guys are smart. I'm sure they're using barometers and indicators that are far more insightful than what the Fed or what the U.S. government wants everybody to know. So the Chinese come out and look around and go, my goodness, our market is starting to shrink and it's starting to collapse. They aren't noticing, perhaps, or again, maybe they're cleverer than we think. Their economy is starting to shrink and slow as well. So they're getting it from both sides. Again, these guys are running around trying to stick their finger in the dike. And it's, you know, they're running out of fingers. There will be a point in time where there's nothing they can do. And that's when the runs on the banks present themselves. Now, how do you make a run on the bank where all the banks are involved? Well, that's what happened in 08, where all the banks got involved and all of them just looked to the Fed and looked to the U.S. government and looked to the bankers, the Bank of England as well, and said, help. And they knew they were all in it together, so they knew they couldn't let it happen. Well, I suspect, not sure, and let's trust that it can happen merely because the only reason it isn't happening is because they're lying to us.
Mm-hmm.
This is all misinformation, and this is all a manipulation. And the expose of the LIBOR scandal is the beginning of it. And there's also a whole bunch of derivatives out there that total in the $400 or $500 or $700 trillion of stuff we've made past reference to in the shows. This isn't pretty. It's a ticking time bomb, and the ticker is not a long-term ticker. It's imminent.
Right. Yeah, no, I think what you mentioned about the LIBOR, I have a feeling that that scandal is going to be much more to it than what they've shown already, because of the importance of the LIBOR and how basically all bank interest rates stem from that. I think that could potentially be a huge problem in the near future. But with that, Jeff, I'd like to thank you for joining us today. Would you like to give out your email for anyone that would like to ask you questions directly?
Alrighty. Should anybody see fit, my email is viadao, V-I-A-T-A-O, @gmail.com.
Okay, and folks, we're going to include also a link to Jeff's email on our website underneath the program once we get it posted on our front page there. And, you know, with that, we look forward to seeing you again next week. Folks, we'll be in touch, and have a great weekend. Jeff, have a great weekend.
Thanks, Bosco. Thank you very much for allowing us to be of service.
Thank you. Goodbye.